Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Welcome back to Morning Footy. We are looking at the weekend results in NWSL. Here are the match day four results. Washington Spirit get the 3-1 win over the Houston Dash. Orlando 1-0 over the Utah Royals. North Carolina are rolling 2-1 over the Portland Thorns. It was a scoreless draw between Louisville and San Diego. Angel City get the 1-0 win at Chicago Red Stars. A 1-1 draw between Gotham FC and Kansas City. And Bay FC get the 3-2 win over the Seattle Reign. And to help us break down the weekend of action, we are delighted to welcome to the desk our good friend Lisa Carlin, fresh off the plane from Atlanta. Yeah. How are you holding up?
Good. I mean, I'm excited to chat with you guys this morning. It's my usual routine. It's great.
Are you used to it
I
now?
Atlanta morning footy.
And
attacking third, throw that in there too.
But 10 p.m. tonight.
Yes. Yeah, so it's good.
Well, it's great to have you as always. Let's chat about the team sitting on top of the standings. NC Courage getting another win this weekend over the Portland Thorns. Are they the real deal?
Yes.
Lisa?
Yes, hands down. North Carolina is really good. And what makes them so good, Suze, is that they're so consistent. Sean Nahas has built a team around tactics and possession. And every single player understands the role of the position. It's not necessarily their role, because as the players rotate in and out, whether it's international break or injury or changing of position, the roles stay the same. And we're seeing that consistency really shine through, especially coming after an international break. North Carolina was without five major players during this stretch. Their goalkeeper, Casey Murphy, Denise O'Sullivan in the midfield, big name players, and yet they're able to come back after a off week and an international break and perform like they haven't missed a beat. They were the best team, North Carolina, coming out of that international break.
When's the timeline on Caroline? Her return?
She hurt herself at the end of October, in October, at the end of last year, so
she's
9 months. We'll see.
Do you think this North Carolina Courage team will give Ashley Sanchez, or do you think Ashley Sanchez will rise to the level? Because so far she's been great, to assist and a goal. But do you think she was on the fringe for the women's national team? And I've always believed there's magic when she's in the midfield. Do you think she gets to that next level?
Being at North Carolina will only help Ashley Sanchez because of the style that the Courage want to play. Mm-hmm. It feeds to Ashley Sanchez's positives that she has because it's really possession oriented. She has a lot of freedom. Nahas has said that when Sanchez is on the ball and in the attacking end, she can kind of float and move wherever she wants. She has three goal creations right now through four matches. That's half of what she had all of last year for the Washington Spirit. So she fits well in this system of keeping possession, and she can also shoot and create chances. She's their set piece taker as well. This is her opportunity to take those next steps and make it back onto the national team if she continues to play this way.
On the other side of this matchup, though, Portland struggling this season. What's going wrong for the Portland Thorns?
A lot has gone wrong. I mean, they have 1 point through four matches. They haven't won a game. This is so uncharacteristic of the Thorns, but they're not playing as a team, and that's the biggest struggle that Portland faces right now. They have a lot of individual talent and individual skills, but they can't all get on the same page. They're without big players that they lost in the offseason, but every team had to face changes in their roster. There's no more excuses at this point for Portland. They have to be able to string games together in full 90-minute matches because they also haven't led. And that's a different mindset for this Portland side. They're used to scoring early, scoring often, and then controlling so much of matches. They're not at all controlling them now. So they have to switch their mindset and their ideals of what Portland can be because they can't just try to be teams from the past. It, frankly, is not working.
Who's to blame there then?
I think it's a group effort because they're trying to rely so much on individual skill and efforts when they get into the game. You can see the frustrations from the players growing throughout the match. And so as a player, I mean, you've been there in those positions. When you get the ball and you're frustrated with how things are going, you think, I'm just going to take it myself and do it. But it's not working.
I was a goalkeeper. Haven't been there really.
Yeah. when a ball goes in, he just yelled at his backline. I'm sure he's like, come on, guys.
But that doesn't work. You have to be able to trust your teammates and rely on them and use them and know that, hey, if I give you the ball, I'm going to get it back if I make this run. And there just isn't a lot of connectivity between the different players and between the different lines for Portland.
If I may, we've been talking about this like early stage in MLS that we don't really know what teams are yet. Similarly, Bay FC, two wins, two losses. They score a lot. They concede a lot. Who are they? Four games in, are you able to
four games into their creation?
Yeah,
what a tough question.
I mean, what else is new? I'm always getting thrown curveballs up here. It's tough to tell what this Bay FC side is going to be, but what they're trying to do is win games flat out. And that's why we're seeing them get really exposed in moments. I mean, Bay and Seattle, that was an incredibly crazy match because Albertine Montoya, the head coach for Bay FC, he doesn't want draws. He obviously doesn't want losses, but he wants wins over a draw. So towards the end of games, he was willing to throw players forward, expose themselves, get stretched out just so they can get another goal. It paid off for them last night against Seattle, but that is a very dangerous game to play in the NWSL. I mean, you take a look at Orlando last year. They had 10 wins and they didn't make the playoffs because they lost so many games that they could have drawn. And those extra points, just 1 point that you take off of teams in draws, helps you so much towards the end of the season. So Bay FC is walking this really risky line right now.
There's a lot of data analytics people that believe that's the way you should play. Like the guys who say if you go for it on every fourth down, in the end you'll go. And it's like, yeah, but are you scared to do that? I would be
I'm
scared to do that.
I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Yeah. I say go for it. Yeah. Push every
of
single
course.
Time.
Good analogy.
Yeah, you've ruined the NFL. Cool. my question is about my favorite team in the NWSL, New York, New Jersey, Gotham. Okay. One win, one draw, one loss. We've done all three. What do you think comes next? How do you feel about this, you know, Monstars, this super team? Mm-hmm. I know not every piece is in yet, but how do you feel about how it's been sort of adjusted after the losing some big players and winning a championship?
Gotham looks good. They have the moments and the pieces, but against Kansas City, their first half was lackluster. They didn't have the right pieces on the pitch, and that changed in the second half when Juan Carlos Amoros brought on a few more technical players that have a bit more experience. That's Jenna Knight in the back, Crystal Dunn. They dropped Esther Gonzalez into the midfield. And when you have more of the technical creative players on the pitch at the same time, it works better for what Gotham's trying to do because they need those players that can keep the ball, that can see the game three, four, five passes ahead. And they have those players, but they're also on minute restrictions. We got to see Lynn Williams make her way back. So this Gotham side is progressing. Once they get all their players back and Crystal Dunn, Jenna Knight-Swanger, they're not on minute restrictions. Lynn Williams isn't on minute restrictions.
It's going to be scary.
It's dangerous. And this,
but how do you put them all? You can't have 15 players on the pitch. You can only have 11.
The best thing about this Gotham side is a lot of them are versatile.
Yeah.
Right? With Esther Gonzalez, she can play in the front line. You can also drop her back into the midfield. Yasmin Ryan, she can play wide areas or centrally.
Love
Crystal
Yasmin.
Dunn, anywhere
literally,
across the line,
literally,
you can play her. So that works to Gotham's favor because now you are able to get more players on the pitch if you can just move them around and they can play different positions.
Oh, it's going to be fun to watch. Lisa, thank you so much
Thanks for
joining us today. Attacking Third, going to be on at 10 p.m. tonight on
yes,
the Glassdoor Network.
It's a late night special.
Let's
join us.
Go. You don't want to miss it.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.